Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
I invite you to take your Bibles, if you can, today, and turn to Colossians chapter 4. We'll be completing our study of this epistle, looking at verses 15 through 18. Colossians chapter number 4, verses 15 through 18. Apostle Paul is writing, he says, "Salute the brethren, which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." As we complete our study of the Epistle to the Colossians, we have been examining the friends whose names the Apostle Paul is listed in chapter 4. We have met Tychicus, who was a dependable friend. We have met Onesimus, the runaway slave, who was a relatively new friend. And then there was Aristarchus, who was such a loyal friend. There was also Marcus, or John Mark, who was reconciled to Paul and at the end of his life considered a friend. Justice, we learned, was a comforting friend. Epaphras, he was known for his praying. He was a praying friend. Luke was a beloved physician and a close friend. But if ever there was a fickle friend, it was Demas. We learned that Demas started off well, but he didn't end well, having forsaken and betrayed the Apostle Paul. Well, our next friend, he's a hospitable friend. There's a little bit of question about his name, but King James Version has Nymphas as the name in verse number 15. "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house." Now, the reason I say there's some question about his name is some translations, instead of reading Nymphas, read Nympha, which would make him a her. So we're really not sure if Nymphas was a him, as it's translated in the King James Version, or some other translations have it Nympha, which would make him a her. It really doesn't matter. This person, this friend of the Apostle Paul, was a hospitable friend. And why do I say that? Because they opened up their home for the church to meet in it, the church at Laodicea. I want to share with you a story that's written about Judith Hinkson. Judith Hinkson of Santa, Idaho, went through a season in life that exhausted her every nerve. She and her husband had moved 2,000 miles from their family with their toddler. When Judith had another baby, there were complications. The child had severely clubbed feet. Suddenly, Judith was taking care of two small children, one requiring constant medical attention, with endless doctor's appointments. Judith struggled with fatigue and fell behind on all her housework. One day, she wrote, "We came home from yet another doctor's visit to find the front door ajar. I cautiously proceeded into the house, only to find the floors spotless, the dishes cleaned and dried, and the dirty laundry washed and folded. Upstairs the beds were made, and there were even flowers in a vase beside my bed. It turns out that my friend Joy was driving by my home and noticed my car was gone, so she took the opportunity to help me out, Judith said. I learned an important lesson that day about compassion, and this friendship was sealed for life. That, my friend, is a hospitable friend. This believer opened up their home as a meeting place for the church in Laodicea. Back in those days, while the pagans had their heathen temples, the Christians met in the homes of fellow believers. I'll just share a couple of examples. One is found in Romans chapter 16 and verse 5. Romans chapter 16 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." Then the second example I'll share is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. The Bible says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Churches back in Paul's day, they didn't have buildings. A lot of times Christians were under persecution. They wouldn't be able to have buildings anyway, so they met as churches in people's homes. In some parts of the world, even today, this is still the norm because of persecution. We call these underground churches. The church in Colossae met in a home as well. They met in Philemon's home. So if you look with me to the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. And so the church in Colossae probably met in Philemon's home. Now, it's interesting as you consider the epistles that Paul wrote and the many letters that he wrote, copies of Paul's letters would be circulated amongst the churches. And then they would be read aloud. Not everybody had a copy of the Bible like we have today. In fact, the Bible wasn't completed, and many years separate many of the different books of the Bible. If you'll look in 1 Timothy, we have some instruction given here, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, where the Bible says, "Till I come," Paul's writing this, "till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And the word doctrine refers to teaching. So he's talking about, when I write these epistles to you, be sure that they are read. They are exhortation to doctrine, the teaching of what I'm teaching you. And so they were to be read aloud. In some of our churches today, we've gotten away from reading the very scriptures that God has given us. And these copies of Paul's letter, he'd send them to a church, and then copies were made, and they'd be sent out to other churches that they would be read there as well. And so the interesting thing that we see in our text today, Colossians chapter 4, notice here he makes reference to an epistle or a letter from Laodicea. He said, "And when this epistle is read," talking about the book of Colossians, "when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans." So a copy of the letter of Colossians would be sent to the local church at Laodicea, and they would read aloud that epistle to their church as well. But the interesting thing is that the end of verse 16 it says, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, what makes that little phrase there so interesting is we don't have a copy of an epistle called Laodicea, like we do with the Colossians. And so there's two possibilities, two possible views that I could find about what Paul is referring to here when he talks about the epistle to the Laodiceans. Number one, Paul could have written a separate letter to Laodicea that we just don't have. If we were to know, and it would just be a guess, we don't know, how many letters the Apostle Paul must have written. I'm sure he was a very prolific writer. He probably wrote several letters, many of them that we don't have. But God purposely gave us, I believe, 13 of his letters that are inspired, that are included in the Word of God, the ones that we need. But that doesn't mean he only wrote those 13. He wrote others that we don't have today. It's possible Paul wrote a letter to the Laodiceans that we simply don't have. There's an example in the Word of God that refers to this same situation, and that's found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, we have reference to another letter Paul wrote that we do not have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 9, the Bible says, I wrote unto you in an epistle or a letter not to company with fornicators. Of all the epistles to the church at Corinth, we only have the two. We have 1 Corinthians and we have 2 Corinthians. But Paul makes reference to a letter that he wrote prior to 1 Corinthians. We don't have that letter today. Perhaps Paul wrote a letter to the church at Laodicea that we simply don't have, but his instruction was get a copy of that letter and let it be read to the church at Colossae as well as the church at Laodicea. Now, that's a first possibility. Now, secondly, the church in Laodicea possibly had a copy of Paul's letter of Ephesians. In the circulation of his epistles throughout the churches, the book of Ephesians was at Laodicea, and that the people living in Colossae needed a copy of that letter and to be sure and get it and read it aloud at their church as well. So if this was a letter written to the Ephesians, that's a possibility that that's the letter that the Laodiceans had. Now, I know this can sound kind of confusing, but I find it interesting when the Bible makes reference to a letter that we may just not have. But then again, possibly it was the book written to the Ephesians because all of his epistles were circulated. These epistles of the Apostle Paul, they've been circulated. They've made it all around the world. So this was God's plan, that his word be circulated. Ones that God chose to be included in the canon of Scripture, those which are inspired, those which are actually God's words, are circulated around the world, and we all need to take advantage of the Word of God. What a privilege it is. I hope you live where you can have a copy of the Word of God. What a blessing and encouragement it is to have God's very Word. He wants you to have it. He wants us to read it and hide it in our hearts. Well, there's another friend. We're in Colossians chapter 4. Not only is there Nymphas and the church which was in his house, but then there's Archippus in verse 17. Paul writes, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. We're going to call Archippus a discouraged friend. I think Paul is trying to encourage this man. In fact, he was possibly the pastor of the church. Why do we say that? Well, go back to Philemon. By now, your Bible probably automatically opens to Philemon. But go back to Philemon again and look at verses 1 and 2. Paul begins this letter. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now remember, Philemon was the slave owner of Onesimus. Onesimus came to know the Lord as his Savior. Paul said, you need to go back to your master. Now, he's not approving of slavery, but in the day in which they lived, that was the right thing for him to do. He needed to go back to Philemon, turn himself in. And that was the whole purpose of the book of Philemon, that Paul sent Onesimus with this epistle, how Philemon was to treat this returning slave of his. Philemon was addressed here in verse number 1. It says in verse 2, and to our beloved Apphia. This was probably Philemon's wife. And Archippus, probably his son. Our fellow soldier, he says, and to the church in thy house. So Philemon housed the church. They met there. Archippus, our fellow soldier, Paul addresses him as a fellow soldier, not in the army of Rome, but in the army of God, and to the church in thy house. And so trying to connect the dots, scholars suggest that this man was actually the pastor of the church, and he needed to be encouraged. What kind of inroads were the false teachers making in that local assembly? What kind of things was this pastor dealing with when there were people who were in danger of falling for false doctrine? Whatever was going on there, we sense he was discouraged because Paul is encouraging this man who is possibly the pastor. This is what he says. He says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. I just want to remind us, and those of you who are serving God, the ministry that God has given you. And I'm not just talking about pastors or teachers. I'm talking about regular folk. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And we have a ministry. We've been given a gift or gifts by the Holy Spirit that we might serve. God has given us a ministry. And that's the point here. The ministry that we have is a gift from God. It's an opportunity. We read the illustration of the lady that stopped at her friend's house and cleaned her house because she didn't have time because of her sick children and medical visits and all of those things. But her ministry that day was to clean her friend's house and to show compassion, to be a hospitable friend. We need to understand that these opportunities, these ministries are from God. Warren Wiersbe said, ministry is not something we do for God. It is something God does in and through us. My friend, it's not our ministry. This radio program is not our ministry. It's God's ministry. Your ministry is God's ministry. He is just giving us the opportunity to use us in his ministry. So he said, take heed to the ministry. He's telling him, don't neglect it. Don't diminish it. Don't neglect the ministry that you've received in the Lord. Attend it. Be faithful in it. Might be a ministry of prayer. Might be the ministry of giving. It might be the ministry of encouragement. Build upon that ministry. May it flourish in each one of our lives. Take heed. Don't neglect the ministry that God has gifted you with. But that wasn't all. Let me encourage you, Archippus. Take heed to the ministry. It's a gift from God, which thou hast received in the Lord. And then he says, that thou fulfill it. Look up the Greek word fulfill, and it means to fill to the full. It means to complete. Paul is telling this minister of Christ, you take heed to the ministry, that gift that God has given you, and you don't quit. You complete the ministry God does not call us to do something that he will not enable us to complete. I want to look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 as we think about fulfilling our ministry. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, referring to believers, it says, "For we are his," referring to God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Then look with me in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 29. The Bible says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Now the context of that verse is God's relationship with Israel. Let me ask you, did Israel ever drop the ball? Have you dropped the ball? Have you failed in ministry? Haven't we all? But we don't stop. We don't give up. Because when God calls us to do something, the gifts, the opportunities, and the calling of God are without repentance. God is not done with us until he's done with us. Let me encourage you today. And then in the Gospel of John, chapter 17 and verse 4, John chapter 17 and verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his high priestly prayer, says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Just as Jesus fulfilled his ministry, you and I are to fulfill ours. Well, we're going to have to hurry here. Back in Colossians, we're on the very last verse of the entire book, Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." Paul's practice was to dictate his letter, but here he adds his last words. I can just imagine him picking up the pen saying, "Let me write a line or two here." And what does he write? He says, "Remember my bonds. Remember my bonds." Reminiscent of what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3, where it says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." The Apostle Paul was at least under house arrest, and at one point in time just continued to get worse. There's suggested that he would be put in prison at least twice during his lifetime, and then that he would die a martyr's death. John Phillips writes concerning Paul's salutation here that Paul was not handing out advice from an ivory tower. He was proclaiming truth purchased at great cost. Here was a man who earned to be listened to. Here was a man who earned to be heard. He says, "Remember my bonds." You can do whatever God calls you to do. Look at me. I'm still faithful. I'm in prison. I'm under arrest. I don't have liberty and the freedoms, but God's still using me. You can do it too. And then he says, "Grace be with you. Amen." I want to leave you with something I ran across concerning the word amen, and I found this such a blessing. We'll end with this. The word amen is a most remarkable word. It was transliterated directly from the Hebrew into the Greek of the New Testament, then into Latin and into English and many other languages, so that it is practically a universal word. It has been called the best known word in human speech. The word is directly related, in fact, almost identical to the Hebrew word for believe, amam, or faithful. Thus it came to mean sure or truly, an expression of absolute trust and confidence. Everything that the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of God, we can take it and we can say with the brother Apostle Paul, amen. May God bless you.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.